From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. Since 1999, her first movie, The Virgin Suicides, is now old enough to be able to drink in most Western countries. My guest, writer Sofia Coppola and director Sofia Coppola, has been gracious enough to consent to do this show to talk about her work. And her newest piece of work is On the Rocks, which stars Rashida Jones and Bill Murray. Sofia, as always, so great to have you back.
Thanks, Elvis. I'm happy to join you.
First of all, let's talk about the title. Where does that come from?
Thinking of what would encapsulate the feeling and the beginning of the story was the idea of a father and daughter having martinis and discussing relationship and then women from two different perspectives. And also the main character's feeling wobbly in her relationship. So it just came up with On the Rocks as something to, it was like when a title has more than one meaning. So that's the origin.
Because also it's also kind of an old world title too. It doesn't seem quite contemporary. I mean, that turn of phrase, I mean to say.
Oh yeah, because Bill's character Felix is an old world gentleman. So I wanted to kind of be in the mood of his world, and thinking of men of Felix's character, his era, and kind of a bygone era, and these kind of uptown bars like Bemelman's. And Bill and Rashida, we had fun shooting it, and we were talking about, oh, we have to continue the series because it was kind of inspired by the idea of like the Thin Man movies, which I love. So we're thinking that the sequel will be make it a double. And then we kept titles to go along. We don't have the stories, but we've got titles for the series.
One of the things I like about it is that they drink a lot in the movie. I mean, especially whenever he sits down, a glass turns up in front of him.
Yeah, I think that's just part of his character. He always has a martini handy. And I'm glad that we can do that without judgment.
I think these days we all need a martini, but it's also her reaction to the first time we see them together when he orders one and she looks at him like, what are you? Okay.
And I love that he's ordering her martini like in the middle of the day when she's going to pick her kids up for lunch, you know, like no mom in the middle of the day would ever do that. And it's part of what I love about their clash is that she's practical and he is the opposite, you know, he's having fun. And Bill has an element of that in his spirit that is always living life to its fullest.
Yeah, one of the great things about the movie is it's one of the rare films that kind of capture people's idea of what he's like in some ways, but also to do a refined movie version of it. And that whenever he appears, generally some kind of celebration appears with him. At least the energy level gets ramped up in some way or another.
Yeah, no, I think it's true. Wherever he shows up, it does change the energy in the room, and he'll make people do things that they would not think of, and kind of it's always brings some kind of magic and fun, and especially he loves to shake up people that are rigid, and I wanted a sense of that in the character too, because I wanted Rashida's character to be uptight and kind of locked into this all the mundane details of domestic life, and he's good at shaking that up.
It's interesting, too, because the times you've cast them, you basically sort of played on, to some extent, who Bill Murray is in real life, which is something that generally tends to not happen in movies. I mean, he doesn't often get a chance to use the power he has in real life. In movies, he's playing something that's kind of a polar opposite. And I wonder what that conversation was like, because he's playing somebody who, when he enters the room, people pay attention to him. That sense of ease that he's immediately able to create, that almost kind of Zen, wry sense of his comes into play too. And he's often reluctant to be that kind of person in front of the camera. So I guess I want to talk to you about getting him to be, in a lot of ways, close to what he really is.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. We didn't really talk about it. I just, you know, I picture him a certain way and I know he brings that effervescence that I hoped he would bring to the character. And I think there's elements of him that are similar, but then of course, he's not that guy at all. So it was fun to see him inhabit that role and kind of bring his joie de vivre to that character and then, you know, say these things that Bill would never say. Or, you know, he's playing a character, but But I knew, I feel like when you, in life, like when Bill gives a speech, you know, a toast or something, there's always, it's always so poignant and touching, and he really puts his heart, he's so sincere when he puts his heart into something. So I wanted to have that quality come through. And I remember in my, well, it was in my late 20s, like there's one after Lost in Translation, and I remember I was going through a divorce, and I remember talking to him, and he kind of opening up in this sincere way, in this kind of big brotherly advice way. And it always, that side, like always stayed in my mind. So trying to incorporate elements from him and from other people that are not at all like him and kind of put them all together. But I appreciated that he trusted me enough to really put his heart and sincerity into it.
One of the things I like about this and Lost in Translation, what they have in common is that he is playing characters who lead with their hearts, and that's kind of what he's like in real life, and that he's skeptical but not cynical, but often he plays cynical characters. And I just wondered, you're talking about that a little bit, but having him be somebody who's really so open to what he's feeling at the moment, again, it's a really interesting thing to get to see him play and not comment on it, but just actually feel it.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that in context to other stuff, but it's true. He doesn't always show that, but that's just part of the quality that I love about him is how he really puts his heart and sincerity out there as a person, and wanted to have that quality because I think the character has this kind of silly fun side, and then I wanted him to also connect with him emotionally and see his vulnerability. And I was, when we shot the scene in Mexico and he's talking about his relationship and kind of heartbreak, it was really startling because you don't see him make that switch so in such an extreme way, and it felt like he was really talking about someone important to him.
No, that's a great moment, because I actually wanted to bring that up. There's a beat near in the last third of the movie, he's talking about his relationship with his kids and his mother and what happened when suddenly he was a father and how his needs weren't being met. And it is a startling moment, and because it seems to come out of nowhere, because he hears her, but he doesn't actually answer anything that she asks him, so that he becomes suddenly really kind of forthright and direct about what he's feeling. It's a big moment.
I imagine that character, that kind of guy, is always kind of slipping out before he can really have to face things, and always on the move and having fun. And I think only with his daughter will he open that side. And I was curious about that, just that relationship. It's unlike any of the other women in his life. And now her being an adult and looking at her relationship, he can talk about that in a way that he hadn't ever before, is how I imagined. But when we shot that scene, it really took Rashida and I by surprise, because I knew that he would go for it, but it was touching in the moment when we were filming, and it is so different, and the tone of the movie kind of flops back and forth, and I hope that you can just go with it. And it was tricky in the edit, kind of finding that tone between the more silly moments and then the more heartfelt, but I always like when you can have both, of course, because life is like that.
It's the treatment we're talking about, testing Bill Murray with my guest, Sofia Coppola, whose new film as writer-director is On the Rocks. And I guess we should say it's kind of the story is kind of a mystery about a woman who's been married for a while and starts to have suspicions about her husband and is somehow persuaded by her father into investigating. And it's funny because as I was watching it, didn't get a chance to mention to you before, I find myself thinking about your dad's movie, The Conversation, which is how casual the violations in somebody else's life are. You know what I mean?
That's such a great movie. I love it. That's funny. I never thought of that. I was like, okay, I've got to make a mystery, which is like barely has a mystery, but enough that they go on a father-daughter sleuthing. But that's so funny. I didn't think about that.
No, because I just remember thinking about how also in that movie too, about observing that couple in that movie. And in some ways, it reminds me of that. I mean, just because you're with somebody who's investigating at the same time observing her own life. And there are lots of echoes in character moments of that movie.
Wow, I never thought of that. Maybe in my subconscious, having that. But that's so funny. I didn't think of that. I love the ending. That's such a great ending. one of my favorite endings of all time. But that's so funny. I wasn't consciously thinking of that. I was thinking more about the Thin Man and kind of screwball comedy of the awful truth and those kind of movies where there's like had the kind of premise of infidelity. And my brother Roman, which we know, I think he told me about my favorite. Is it My Favorite Wife, or there's one about the secretary?
Yes, Cary Grant, Irene Dunne, My Favorite. Yeah, My Favorite Wife. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like a, you know, mix up. And then I know there's one with like, yeah, him and the, yeah, like Jean Harlow's The Secretary or something. But anyway, in the spirit of those kind of comedies. And also, I was kind of missing romantic comedies, this kind of sincere romantic comedies and sophisticated comedies. I was trying to do something in that vein.
But, you know, it's you mentioned The Thin Man. One of the things that I think for people who love movies and romantic comedies is that the Thin Man movies are romantic comedies about a married couple rather than people who are trying to get married. And that seems to me to be like a really adult difference to sort of delineate that, you know, so many about romantic comedies are about the pursuit of romance. And this is about, you know, finding the romance in your own life. And to some extent for Rashida's character, too.
Yeah, definitely. I know it's funny because I was like, oh, I'm going to try to make a romantic comedy. And then I'm going to edit. I'm like, this isn't not romantic. It's not, didn't feel comedic. Like it was just, but it, yeah, there's something, I don't know. I like that she kind of felt like her marriage was in a rut or, you know, kind of falling apart and just being in that moment of him swooping in to save her, but really just an excuse to get her on this paranoid adventure so he could spend time with her. But then, you know, shakes her up and she kind of reconnects with herself and her senses.
What's evident in the movie and becomes more so by the end of the movie is that her husband loves her. So, I mean, the idea of making, a romance about people who love each other rather than about people trying to find this impossible idea or ideal rather, yeah, and trying to sort of keep all these plates in their lives spinning and then questions being asked about that romance by somebody who's, again, a skeptic but not a cynic, her dad. I think there are a bunch of really interesting ideas going on in this that make it, it felt almost like you were reacting to what romantic comedy has become and trying to find a way to get into it yourself.
That's interesting. Yeah, thanks. I guess I was thinking about that whole world, but wanted to kind of look at when you're, yeah, in the midst of it as opposed to trying to pursue it. And I don't know, I wanted to do something sweet and sincere that, but hopefully not too sappy.
Well, what could be a very sappy moment is the scene where Felix is telling his daughter where her name comes from, which becomes kind of this sweet grace note that goes throughout, literally grace note that goes throughout the movie. And I wanted to ask you how you came up with that, because it's really interesting.
When he sings the song Laura about her name?
Yeah.
My husband's uncle, Helmut, who was a German film critic and wrote a lot about cinema, and he loved, in the movie Laura, did they play that song? I think that was the story. His daughter said Laura. Yeah. And he said, oh, after the song and the movie. Yeah, so I took the idea from that. And my dad sings a lot. He loves the show tune. So it was kind of an homage to that aspect of my dad. But this uncle that named his daughter Laura after I didn't know that there was a song, Laura. I mean, of course, I know the film. So that's where that comes from. But I just, you know, kind of those connections between a father and a daughter.
Well, we're going to take a break after finding out that Francis Coppola likes show tunes. My guest is Sofia Coppola. Her new film as director and writer is On the Rocks. It's The Treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guest is our old friend, Sofia Coppola. Her new film is On the Rocks. I'm sorry, your dad likes show tunes?
Is that not known about him? I didn't know that was a... I think to my friends, anyone around me, they all know this. And I was talking to someone that was writing about the Bellman's Bar, and they were, Earl, the pianist there, was talking about all the kind of more obscure show tunes that my dad was requesting. He comes from the musical theater, so.
Well, then I know. I've talked with Music Mabon before, and he'll suddenly, if you're talking to him, he'll start humming. Yeah. It's just this weird thing, oh, all these pieces are falling into place for me, and I hadn't thought about them in terms of show tunes. But I also, again, because that's a moment about a movie and a song from a movie, and it does this weird thing because Laura is not a, by any means, a comedy, and that weirdly romantic song comes from it, sets this thing in your head into motion that becomes a kind of a thing where you wonder how your movie On the Rocks, how it's going to play out, because Laura itself is such a tragic movie.
Yeah, it's true. I didn't think about it, but I did want you to not know how it's going to work out, and we don't want to give anything away. But it just came from little things you overhear, and I always remember that moment of him talking over that his daughter's name came from that, and that kind of thing of that era of old Hollywood, and Felix being sitting at Bogart and Bacall's table, that he's just, you know, from another era that is just barely holding on.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, we've talked about this a little bit when I spoke to you recently about this, but I like the scale of the movie because it's a really intimate film, which also made me think of the conversation, because for the most part, that's a fairly intimate movie too.
Yeah.
Just that it's set in New York, but it's also about how small a place New York is, especially when you're sitting in bars or restaurants. You really don't have a lot of room around you. And I wonder if these things all kind of came into play for you too, about trying to depict New York as really a kind of an intimate city.
Well, yeah, that's cool. I didn't think about that aspect of it, but I thought about, you know, that she's downtown and Felix is in the kind of uptown world, which feels like a whole different city. And there's, it's loud and construction outside for her. And then she gets in Felix's car in this little bubble, and it kind of drifts into his world of uptown old New York. And just trying to have the kind of romantic aspect of how I remember coming to New York as a kid and going to the Russian Tea Room and those kind of old places. And 21 does have all those, you know, history and stories. So, but it's true. It is an intimate story. I didn't think about that, but I did want to be in her world and the two of them and feel like you're kind of going around New York with them. Yeah. And it's their New York. It's not, he knows all the back doors and how it is, like, Bill is like, I don't know. I mean, not like Felix, but.
No, but Bill does like out of the way places and places that people don't know about. And he'll take you to some restaurant in the financial district that has like four tables at it. And he knows everybody there. And again, there's a part of that that makes this movie feel like the most like a Bill Murray, real Bill Murray movie I've ever seen. I just wondered how he responded to it when he saw it.
I mean, the character has so many elements that are so different from him. I think he was really playing a character, but I agree that there is that kind of magic of driving around New York that he can do with confidence in a way that no one else can. And when kind of like the mayor of the place where, you know, I don't know, but I feel like everyone has someone like that in their life, like a uncle or someone that kind of, my father-in-law is like that, where he's like the mayor wherever he goes. And so just kind of that quality of those kind of charismatic characters.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before, and even on the show, that this, so often this movie, there's this sort of, this pair, somebody who's kind of an observer, who's watching somebody who's larger than life, who's kind of his own, their own planet,
yeah,
and the way people revolve around them. And that's a big part of this one too, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sure that comes from my upbringing, but I think there is, yeah, something about her being more internal and he's more out there in the world, and the contrast.
Well, it's also, too, I guess I find myself thinking that so often in movies you've cast people who have kind of grown up being observed. I mean, going back to your long relationship with Kirsten Dunst, who's been acting since she was a kid, and then then right to Rashida, who also has grown up in that way, too. And you seem to connect to people like that who kind of grown up being seen.
I guess with actors, they're the ones that are out there in front of people. But I definitely connected to Rashida and the fact that we both have big charismatic dads. I think that kind of makes you kind of act the other way when you're around that. You're kind of reined in a way more than when you're around that. But yeah, I guess, I don't know. I guess, yeah, just from growing up with, you know, seeing how people react to, you know, kind of big personalities, I guess, or something familiar.
Yeah, but also people who've grown up famous. I was just thinking about, you know, Elle Fanning and Emma Watson. I mean, people who've been doing this since they were kids, in effect, or also having been around famous people for a long time. And you work with people who inhabited that kind of life a lot.
Yeah, I know. I never thought about Elle was 11 when I worked with her, which is, it's hard to believe how little she was. But yeah, I guess there is an aspect of that growing up kind of around the edge of show business, I guess.
And this is in so many cases, like in this movie, I do want to talk about Rashida's character and performance here too. I mean, you can sort of sense this sort of thing, what she's trying to make a place for her own creativity in her life, and between the kind of the outside influence of her father, and then we're dealing with her marriage, and also getting her kids around the city, you can just sort of see it's like she inhabits a real world. She's on the ground, and her father lives in some sort of dream. Literally, seems to be living in some castle somewhere.
Yeah,
and that's got this really interesting sort of schism between their two worlds.
Yeah, and I think she is so kind of bogged down by all the practical details that she's kind of lost a sense of her spirit and her creativity, and kind of him showing up. She has to kind of look at all her roles and who she wants to be, and reconnects, you know, with that spark, although, you know, having to individuate from dad and where she's from. So I was thinking about all those things, and I think Rashida is so great at conveying that you can read so much without, you know, he says these things and there's nothing she could answer, but with just with a look or eyebrow, you know, it says so much, you know, exactly what she's thinking, which, and then it's harder to get a straight man, but I thought I loved how they played off each other.
It's the treatment we're talking about, contrast with our old friend Sofia Coppola. Her new film is writer, director is on the rocks. And for me, Sofia, that's kind of the difference between the two of them too, is that she lives in the real world and she lives also in the modern world. And when you were talking about before, about him being sort of the last vestige of an era, and the film doesn't judge him at all. And in a lot of ways she doesn't either, because she's clearly got past a lot of that stuff. So this isn't about, you know, her trying to hash out her relationship with him, because in that way she knows who she is. It's just that her father and her husband have these creative lives. You can sort of see that she feels that she needs to claim that in her way for herself too, which for me is where the drama comes in the movie.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like she's trying to kind of find her footing. That the thing of having little kids, which when I was starting to think about this idea, I was trying to figure out, like, how do you write when you have to wake up early in the morning? I used to stay up all night writing. And so I tried to put that in her character, like in all the different roles that you're supposed to all of a sudden be great at all these different things. And Marlon and Rashida and I talked about that too, about how when his kids were little, he went off and worked to kind of get out of the pressure of this whole new, you know, how their life gets turned upside down, as it does when you have babies and little kids. And so, yeah, so I was thinking about that and her trying to find her way and reconnect with her creativity.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I want to bring that up because we're talking about Marlon Wayans, who's really good in the movie. And there's been so much in your movies that's been about, I guess there's a touch right here too, about the exotic versus the real world. I mean, that's interestingly a really big part of Marie Antoinette, but also I guess that line between what's exotic and what really is in your life is this thing that you pursue. And he's somebody who's trying to let her know that her life may be wearing on her and she's feeling all this pressure, but that he believes in her, but he's so distracted. We have to ask ourselves how much of that is real and how much of that's something he's saying too. And it's a really a great and felt performance. I want to talk to you about, or ask you rather, about me with him for the first time, because we've talked about this before. He's a really talented guy.
Yeah. I'm so glad that Fred Roos, my producer and legendary casting advisor, you know, mentioned him. And I love it that, you know, we don't see him play that kind of role very often. And yeah, he's so talented, but you know, we know him more for being broader. And he's another, you know, such a sincere person. And yeah, I'm glad that he's so charming and brought so much to it. And I feel like sometimes there could be like, oh, the husband character is not like, he's not a main part of it. But if you're not invested in him, the story all falls apart. Like you have to. So I wanted to make sure that it wasn't like the token husband, that it was someone that you really cared about. And yeah, I love seeing him in that role. And he's so great with the kids, and you know, just his natural charm comes through.
That's so funny, the token husband. Because generally that kind of the guy, that sort of character written in these things, we're supposed to think that he's evil or he must be conniving or he must be faithless. And the fact is, you have to create a context where he both loves his wife, but we have to ask ourselves, is he cheating on her or not? Because he is so sort of confident and winning and charming. And in some ways, we have to wonder and ask ourselves early on, I know this must be a question you wanted us to pose to ourselves, did she marry her father?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question that comes up. And as you go into relationships as an adult and think about how you react, are you drawn to someone that's the opposite of them, or reliving that? I guess that's like psychology 101. But I definitely wanted to make that connection that she was looking at her relationship and looking at parents' relationship and how her relationship with her father shaped her and how she looks at her husband. And it's all so connected. It's funny, my daughter Romy, who's 13, thinks he's guilty. She thinks that naive should think he's not, but I don't want to spoil it because it's very little mystery in the film, but I hope that people kind of go along with what's going to happen as much as they can.
Well, that's why I guess I'm trying to talk about it in broader strokes, because I don't want to give too much away, but I do think there's a lot going on in it, and I see why you were wrestling with it for so long, because there's a lot you want to get in that doesn't feel like, as you were saying, psychology 101, which is, of course, what my questions are. But I think that, and I was even thinking about this as we were talking about Rashida, is that a lot of what she has is reactions rather than saying things. I mean, she's doing a lot of takes with Jenny Slate and with her kids and with Bill. And that's a lot to ask of somebody. And that clearly gets to the amount of trust you had in her as an actor.
Yeah, I mean, I like those, or I relate to those characters that are more internal and kind of taking it all in and then trying to figure it out. And she does that so well. I mean, yeah, I'm so glad that she, you know, to work with her on that. And I'd met her years ago and I knew that she had that side, which I don't think you see as much, because she does, you know, more broad comedy. So to see her more kind of internal side, I thought is interesting, because I knew she has that in her. And I hope with audiences kind of can mull it over and process things along with her and, you know, and think about things.
No, I mean, we could talk about this for a lot longer, but we're out of time. So, Sophia, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thanks, Elvis. I'm always glad to have a visit with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me here on Psychology 101. Our recording engineer at KCRW is J.C. Swatter. The show is mixed by Kat Yorce, edited by Rebecca Mooney. To better days, everybody. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.